morning. It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, filling in today for Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we'll talk to a guest who's working to provide outreach and support to the state's growing wine and cider industries.
First, after announcing its most highly anticipated decisions last week, the Supreme Court wrapped up its 2014-2015 session today with three final rulings in cases involving the EPA, lethal injections, and redistricting.
The court overturned the Obama administration's rule limiting toxic mercury emissions from power plants. They also ruled that a lethal injection drug used to carry out the death penalty is legal, and they backed Arizona's redistricting commission.
Here with us now to talk about these decisions in each of these cases is Howard Schwaber, political science professor at UW-Madison, an expert in constitutional law and legal theory. Howard, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start out with the EPA ruling today, overturning the EPA's rules on mercury emissions. What did they decide?
It's a somewhat strange ruling. The Environmental Protection Agency concluded that it ought to regulate mercury as it is emitted into the air from power plants, and then went through a process of testing proposed regulations against the cost-benefit analysis. Justice Scalia wrote an opinion for the majority that said that they should have considered a cost-benefit analysis at the very first stage, that is, when they decided whether to try to regulate mercury at all. The only point of disagreement is whether the EPA was required to do that at the very first stage or whether it was enough for them to do it at a second and third stage, which does not seem like a major difference, but Justice Scalia took the opportunity to cast some really scathing words about the idea. He called it irrational to impose billions of dollars in economic cost to, as he put it, save a few dollars of saved lives or health. The actual figures that are cited by the EPA for the cost-benefit analysis suggest that the health savings are much, much higher than that. In fact, are financially more valuable than the cost of implementation. But now the rules goes back to the EPA to have them review it again and try and get it right this time.
Why does not considering the cost-benefit analysis earlier on in the process make this law, these rules, unconstitutional?
Well, it's not so much that it's unconstitutional. This was a statutory case. The argument was that the EPA had failed to follow the rule in the statute that gives it authority that says it should consider necessary and appropriate regulations, and Justice Scalia, and the majority, felt that the word appropriate implied the necessity of doing cost-benefit analysis early on. The other interesting thing about the case, though, is that the court did not engage in what's called Chevron deference. That is, that's a technical term, but the court usually defers to administrative agencies and said, look, if their interpretation is remotely reasonable, we're not going to second-guess it. In this case, though, they said because the issue is so important, they're willing to look at it much more closely. This echoes what Justice Roberts said in the Affordable Care Act case, where he said, we will not apply Chevron deference because the issue is politically important and highly contentious. So there's this apparent movement among the conservative bloc of justices on the court to say that some cases are really important, and an obvious candidate in the environmental sphere would be global warming, and that when cases are really important or really contentious or politically significant, then the court will not defer to agency judgments in the way that it does in other cases. There's no standard for what does or doesn't constitute such an important case, so you can expect that industry groups will be trying to get their cases reviewed under this new approach.
How big a hit was this for the Obama administration?
It's a very big hit. They've been working on these rules for several years. It's a major environmental issue. It is a real signal from the court, as I sort of alluded to a moment ago, that they're not going to be sympathetic to executive branch efforts to have large, sweeping new forms of environmental protection. So it's both a substantive defeat for the Obama administration, although they can probably recover from that by running this through the EPA again. But more importantly, it's a shot across the bow in the relationship between the branches.
Now, this was a 5-4 split. Is this a traditional conservative versus liberal split, or were there surprises here?
No, there were no real surprises. The issue was the coal industry, and the five traditionally ideologically conservative justices, including Kennedy and Roberts, ruled in a way that is favorable to the coal industry. And we generally expect them to be more favorable to industry and less favorable to environmental regulation than we expect from the liberal justices.
We're talking right now with Howard Schwaber, UW-Madison legal expert, talking about the latest Supreme Court rulings from this session. And the Supreme Court also ruled on using a lethal injection drug to execute the death penalty. Wisconsin doesn't have the death penalty, so it doesn't change anything here per se. But what was the issue the judges were looking at?
This is a really very disturbing case. The question was whether the use of a certain set of drugs violates the cruel and unusual punishment, prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment in the Eighth Amendment. And the last three times, or there have been three recent instances in which these drugs were used, in which it seems quite clear that something went desperately wrong. The persons being executed woke up, they were choking, and one of them, his last words, said, my whole body is on fire. Against that was the evidence that the prisoners relied on, saying, look, this is clearly not an effective sedative, and it's clearly not painless. In rejecting their claim, Justice Alito, first of all, invented a brand new doctrine, which is that in order to challenge a method of execution, the prisoner challenging the mode of execution has to come up with an alternative. We've never heard that before, which is why it didn't occur to them to make the argument, because it's never been required before. And secondly, that it really isn't the court's business to try and make sure that executions don't involve pain. That's a harsh tack. On the other side, the more liberal justices really went. Justice Sotomayor wrote an angry dissent, accusing the majority of being callous. Justice Breyer wrote a very long opinion arguing that the history of inaccuracies and prejudice in the application of the death penalty imply that the death penalty ought to be ruled unconstitutional on its face. This is a very deep split in the tones of the opinions. All these opinions, but this one in particular, were really quite nasty.
Is there the perception, based on some of the comments that you just mentioned, that the Supreme Court may in the future be willing to take up a broader look at the death penalty instead of, as someone said, just looking at the wounds inflicted on the law of the death penalty?
Well, if we look at that, and we look, of course, at the same-sex marriage case, which we've all been talking about, and we look at the Affordable Care Act case, I think it's safe to say that in the 2016 presidential election, there's going to be a lot of talk from the candidates about the kind of Supreme Court justices they would appoint if they take the office. And that can become a very major issue in this election in a way that it really hasn't been in recent cycles.
Now, you mentioned Justice Alito saying that there wasn't an alternative offered up to the drug cocktail that they were using currently. You said this has never been done before. It's sort of unusual. So given that, is this likely to stick as precedent down the road?
Apparently it is. I mean, this is the Supreme Court, after all. So if I were filing a brief on behalf of a prisoner challenging a mode of execution or punishment or something else, at this point I would feel compelled to offer some alternative as part of my burden of proof, which, as I say, is a new doctrine and kind of a strange one. I mean, either the method is cruel and unusual or it's not. And if it is, then it's unconstitutional. And the question of what's a better alternative isn't usually considered part of that analysis.
And the last ruling we'll move to address to redistricting and whether Arizona can use a commission separate from the state legislature to draw district lines. What happened in that ruling?
Well, there are actually two cases we're talking about. In that case, the court, again by a 5-4 decision, again with some very, very sharply worded opinions. Chief Justice Roberts in particular wrote for him, an unusually harshly worded dissenting opinion, concluded that it is permissible to use nonpartisan commissions to draw districts in order to avoid gerrymandering and the kind of political gamesmanship that we've seen so much of in recent years. The issue turns on whether the use of the term legislature in the Constitution's Elections Clause, which says that the legislature sets the time, rules, and manner for federal elections, the state legislatures, whether that term extends to a nonpartisan commission created by a ballot initiative. And the majority ruled that it does, because that's still part of the state's democratic process that was envisioned by the framers. The dissenters say, no, the word legislature should be read to mean simply the legislature, and that was the point of distinction. If you are a fan of election reform, this is good news, because there are commissions of this type in 11 states. It's not clear whether the other ones would have survived the scrutiny if this one were struck down, and it's part of a broad move to try and get some of the partisanship out of district line drawing. So this is good news for people who support reform. As a matter of constitutional interpretation, it's one the usual split over literalism versus functionalism.
So looking ahead to the 2016 elections, how consequential do you imagine this will be?
Extremely. Or rather, to put it the other way, a different ruling would have been extremely consequential. Had the independent commission been struck down, and particularly if the ruling had been written in such a way as to suggest that other independent commissions violate the Constitution, there would have been an enormous opportunity for state legislatures, most of which at the moment are dominated by Republicans, to jump in and draw highly gerrymandered districts in advance of the 2016 election. That brings me to the one other case worth mentioning, which the court didn't do anything. It's a case called Comback, in which the court declined to review a ruling by the Tenth Circuit that said Kansas is not entitled to ask for proof of citizenship in federal elections. The specifics are a little technical. It has to do with whether the Federal Election Commission is required to cooperate in that process. But the outcome is that laws requiring proof of citizenship to vote in federal elections are struck down, at least in the circuits that have ruled that way. We don't know about state elections. So it's conceivable, for example, that in a state like Kansas, it might be necessary to have proof of citizenship to vote for state office, but not for federal office. Again, if the court had taken that case up and ruled differently and ruled that proof of citizenship requirements are acceptable in federal elections, that would have been a tremendous opportunity for major voter suppression in 2016. So again, you know, depending on one's politics, this was either a dodged disaster or a lost opportunity.
Howard, thanks again for joining us.
My great pleasure.
We've been talking to Howard Schwaber, political science professor at UW-Madison and expert in constitutional law and legal theory. The Supreme Court wrapped up its current session today with decisions on the EPA regulations, redistricting, and lethal injections.